Well, we're going back in our series. We're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Has anybody had any faith fights? Well, if you haven't, you ain't lived. Hallelujah. My God. There's always something that comes against faith. Hallelujah. But praise God, it's a good fight. God's word is true. We've been using in this series a scripture from 1 Timothy has really been the foundation, 6:12, where it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. That's the beginning of that. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. You're going to have to lay a hold of this thing. It's one thing about a fight. It wouldn't be much of a fight if you didn't lay a hold of anything. You'd probably have to quit pretty quick. Hallelujah. But it's a faith fight. And when Paul passed on, was going to pass on, he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I've fought the good fight. He said, I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. So it's keeping the faith. Hallelujah. Did you ever want to stop in faith? Did you ever want to throw the towel in? Does that ever happen to you? Well, I'm sure it has. Whether you want to admit it or not, you've sometimes said, man, let's do something else. But we keep fighting the good fight of faith. I mean, I quit a lot of times on things, at least, you know, for a few minutes anyhow. Then you repent and go right back and follow God again. So that's what we do. But we're looking this morning, last week we talked about conscience and really the importance of conscience and remembering that, the importance of conscience when we're talking in the areas of faith, because you're not going to fight a fight if your conscience is bothering you. It's hard to maintain faith. But we talked about that last week. We also went on and we read from 2 Timothy in the second chapter. We read the first seven verses there. I'm going to quickly read through them. It's in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding, he said, in all things. So he told these things, he wanted God to give him understanding in these things. The fact of being a good soldier. Today, much of the church world, even in how they operate their services, are very much entangled in the world. They're trying to use world things, the things that please people in the world, to make them happy to come to church. That's what we do today. We're trying to use the world's things. You know, this is not new. Back in the early 1990s, a minister friend had come to me and talked to me about, he had a certain thing happening in his church. He had some people who were, they had this band that played Christian music, and somehow they got over in this thing and they wanted to go more into the secular stuff, and they thought if they got into the secular, they could use that and Christian music to reach people. And we started having a lot of that going on at that time. You know, there's a lot of the Christian rock and roll that came in back in those days where a lot of that stuff was going on. That they were trying to use, well, you know, if the world likes it, we ought to give them to what they liked it. And if they see that we're helping them, that they'll come and jump in on board. Well, how's it turned out over the years? Man, hasn't the church got more spiritual? But anyhow, you know, he asked me if I'd pray. He said, people are jumping on board this. He says, is God moving in this? And I said, well, I don't get any sense God is. But he asked me if I'd pray with him about this thing. And so, I had prayed and asked the Lord about this a number of times. But anyhow, what happened was one night I had a dream. And in this dream, I would sort of call it more than a dream. I think it was a reference that the Apostle Paul made called, he said, a night vision, because it was more of a vision than it was a dream. In this thing, it was just like reality to me. I knew when I was having it that this thing, I knew it, I wasn't a dream. It was weird. I knew I was in bed sleeping, and I knew this thing was going on, but I knew it wasn't nothing normal. I mean, and in this dream, what it was I was back in Vietnam again. And I'm going to tell you what, it was just as real that I was back in Vietnam. I mean, one of the first things that I noticed was, you know, there was certain smells and odors that you would have over there that you'd smell. And I remember in the dream, first thing I noticed the exact same odors and smells and everything. And I was sitting driving a deuce and a half. We were running an ammo convoy. And we were coming through, we're in a jungle area, and we're coming down, there's a clearing out there, but all of a sudden the trucks in front of me start slowing down and stopping. Well, one of the things you never did in an ammo convoy, you never stopped. Somebody went out in the road and waved their hands, you ran over them, and you looked back, and there was a guy laying on the road, you know, back there, because you're loaded with explosives, and somebody throws a charge or anything on there, you're dead. They ain't gonna find your body. They won't find you, you'll be missing in action. And there's one that you never stopped. You didn't do that. You didn't let anybody stop. When ammo convoy's moving, it moves. You don't give anybody an opportunity to blow you up. And so they started stopping. And I started yelling, what do you got? Keep moving. Keep moving. And they come to a complete stop. And I was sitting in still. I hadn't made it to that clearing area yet in the truck. And there was a lot of lower brush and trees and stuff off to my right-hand side, and I was driving this deuce and a half. Well, you can turn around and take, you could run over this stuff. So I drove, and I went and pulled my truck around and ran past the people in front of me. And I'm running down this, through there yelling, keep moving! And they're all sitting, I wonder, what is going on? And I look way up ahead, and off to the side of the road from where I'm at, and say it must have been about, I don't know, maybe 100 yards away, there's this big angel standing. This big angel, and I mean, he must have been about 10 feet tall or so. He's standing there, you see his wings and he's glowing. And these guys stopped to look at this angel, and they stopped. And the first thing that crossed my mind is, that can't be God, because God would never put us in danger like this. It's the first thought that came to me. God wouldn't do that. And I was exactly right. When I drove up through and I got to where that angel was, oh, it looked beautiful till I looked in its face, and that wasn't no angel. It was a demon. And I drove, they all stopped, and all these people, see, they were moving, oh, everybody thought this was beautiful. They're leaving their trucks and going to this angel. Well, anyhow, when I woke up, I knew what exactly about. See, people see something they think looks good, and they all run in crowd to it. I knew what it was about. It was about this bit with this music bit going on. I knew what it was about. See, we have churches. We have a church here in this town that plays 80s, 70s, and 80s rock music in the beginning to get people to come into the church. They're leading people to Jesus. Jefferson Airplane will get you to Jesus for sure. Joe Cocker will definitely lead you to Jesus. people are deceived. We're living in a deceptive world. We're living in a world where people can't tell things that are going on. People can't tell what's happening. And we need to be very careful. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. If we're going to stay in this fight, you need to know what's going on. Things that are deceptive. You know, I've learned over the years in following that, one of the things that you need to learn, you're never going to really walk and follow God very well if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, if you don't learn to lead by the inside. I could sit here and tell you stories and stories till this evening, tell you stories of major ministers and ministries and stuff where people went along and they didn't listen. Somehow I knew in my inside something was wrong. But all these people are following along with things, And I'm thinking, you know, what's the matter with me? Everybody thinks this is wonderful. Something inside of me says it ain't right. And every time it proved out it was wrong. Every time. People don't listen to the inside. They always move with the crowd and what looks good. And especially if it's big, it is God. If it's big, it's God. Well, that's the sign. And if there's money in it, that's definitely God. And people follow. I can tell you story after story. Where ministers who were my leaders would turn around and followed after things. And I knew something was wrong and found out later it was really wrong. The majority, I could sit here and name major ministers and you folks would know every one of them, followed after people that they proved were operating under demonic spirits, and they all followed off after. Every one of the big names, every one of them, followed after. So you got to listen on the inside. There's a war going on, and that Satan's greatest battle is deception to you. Is deception. To entice you to what looks good instead of what is good. See, we're living in a world that they said that was going to be this way in the end times. They were going to call evil good and good evil. There is very much today in the church world, in the spirit-filled world, that is called good and it's evil. And people don't even know it's how it's harming them. They don't even understand. Well, and I've even had people tell me, well, that's not really that bad. I'm sorry, that bad will take you to real bad. Don't worry. It will. When people are willing to accept bad, because it ain't that bad, I'll guarantee you in no time they'll be accepting real bad. You get into things you just don't want to go to. Because when you get into those areas and those fights, I'm going to tell you, you lose at them. You lose. I've watched people lose and lose and lose and lose at battles. And they don't realize this is because of things that they accepted. And those things weren't right. And it made them a prime target for the enemy. And when a battle comes, it's hard to fight the battle. Because I'll tell you, the first thing the devil will do is everything that he enticed you in to do that was wrong, he's going to throw in your face when the battle starts and condemn you. And he enticed you into all of it and you bought it. And he'll throw it in your face. So we need to learn as Christians, walk in the light as he's in the light. You know, it's one thing about it. I mean, you're definitely going to be considered old school. There's two schools of Christianity today, and the new school I ain't going with. The new school of Christianity, it ain't happening. It ain't going on. And so these things have slowly over the years moved in, but we want to look at some things. We're finding out we're in this thing. He talks about a soldier, and then we read here he talked about an athlete. We're enlisted. The guy who enlisted us is Jesus. We're supposed to be out to please Him. So understand this. Faith is not about pleasing me. Faith is about pleasing Him. Faith is about, without faith it's impossible to please who? Me? God. Faith is used to please God. In pleasing God, I can be rewarded and blessed, but the whole thing is to please God. We're doing it to please God. Get ourselves over into that. When an athlete competes, what's he? He's competing for a crown. So there's a competition. Following the rules. To win the crown in God's kingdom, you got to follow the rules. So there's rules. There's things in the Word that you're going to have to follow. If you don't follow the rules, you ain't going to be, you're not going to get reward. There's nothing wrong with wanting reward. You should want reward. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder. You should want reward. But reward is not everything. If you're not going to follow the rules, it's like today, people don't care what it takes to win. They don't care anymore. You know, you have all this stuff, you know, people are all think this is weird, the horse racing, and they're saying, oh, they're using drugs. You're out here gambling and doing all that to begin with. Take the drugs. You're living like hell anyhow. Go ahead after it. You know, who cares about stupid horse? All the trouble we're in today, and we're worried about horse races. Their legs fell off. I don't even care. But, you know, they're out here worried. But see, everybody though is in a thing. People don't care. We go to sports anymore, you know. They had over the things of Tom Brady cheating. You know what it amounted to? It don't really matter. See, it don't even matter if you're a cheat anymore. He's considered a good guy, and he's a cheat. You know, it's like me, I don't watch it on their sports. I don't watch it on that anymore. You know what I mean? I ain't supporting people who are doing this stuff. I ain't supporting it. You know, if I watch it, I support it. I don't support it anymore. I don't support none of that stuff anymore because it's like, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want people to think that any of that's all right anymore. I mean, we don't have sports anymore. We have liars, cheats, and crooks. People in sports world today spend more time in jail than anyone. They're getting arrested all the time. I mean, constantly those people are getting arrested for stuff. Well, we did it because we made the things of this world so important. We made sports and things so important that we let people live lousy lives because we wanted to watch people play sports and we enjoyed the pleasure of seeing things. And now we end up with these people and they're morally bankrupt. Well, we let them be that way. We chose that they could be like that. If you could play a sport well, you could be any scumbag in the world. Well, we'll push you through school and everything and send you to a college where you can't even read, but you'll get through it and you can do whatever it is because you get to play that sport and we get to watch you and pay you hundreds of millions of dollars. Isn't this exciting? And then turn around and complain when they do something wrong. We taught them it don't matter to do wrong. The most important thing was that sport. That's the most important thing in the world. Well, if I'm doing really good at sport, I just get to college today. You know, you have people out here pretty smart, have a hard time getting money for college, but if you're good at a sport, you can go out here and they'll pay your way to school if you're good at a sport. You might be the dumbest guy in town. This is what we do in our society, and the Christians are in it up to here, so it don't matter. See, we help promote this stuff. It's a lifestyle we love. Then we're trying to fight faith fights. Don't work too well. See, if you stand up and you start talking morality, they ain't happy with you. If you walk, start out, it's like today, we need to understand there needs to be morality brought back to the church first. Morality must come back to the church again. Christians got to get moral thinking. You cannot live a moral life with immoral thinking. You can't. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. So we're going to have changes. Now we know one thing that is said here in that scripture. Said the hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crop. In other words, that we have rules to follow. Whoever this wanted enlisted as Jesus, there's rules to follow to win. And we find out really from a reward of what you produce should go to the person who was producing it. That's where it'll go to. The reward of what you produce, you should eat the fruit of it first, not somebody else. Today we reward sin. You live like hell, the church will take care of you. You live like hell, we'll run around, try to feed you, try to do all kind of things, give you stuff, build you a house. We're going to do all these things because we're lovers. We're the great rewarders of the immoral. We won't say to people, no, you can't live like that and have good. Today is the socialistic church. You remember it was over a year ago, I preached about the socialistic church. The Church of America is basically a socialistic church. And we complain, I really love it. The Americans sit around and talk about the gripe about these socialists and that stuff that over in the Democratic Party. Well, the church is the Democratic Party. Full of socialism. Filled with it. We love to go do it. Give away without any demand of anybody do anything right or doing anything. We've lost that. People, if people can just do anything they want and be rewarded, you try to teach them anything. See how well that works. It doesn't work. Once people find out that they can have reward without doing something, you're going to ever have a hard time of bringing them back over to working. In the Soviet Union today, what used to be the Soviet Union, Russia, under communism, a lot of the older people today and that stuff still have a terrible time because they grew up under the things where you didn't have to do things and you got things. And you know what? They have not been able to change. Most of them are having a terrible time because they don't know how to live. They have been trained. You get without responsibility. You get without doing things. And see, that's not good. You should never teach people that. You should never teach your children that. You should never reward your children. You know, everybody say, I treat my kids the same. What do you mean by that? If one's good and one's bad, they get the same thing. That's the way most people mean it. They both end up with the same thing. Well, I didn't do that. I learned the system of you reward the good, the bad don't get nothing. Even what they have gets taken from them. That's biblical. But see, we've trained children today that they can do evil and they'll still do it. I watched a person do this one time. Kid was rotten as crazy. I mean, I'm going to tell you what. Everybody around is ready to choke him. Demon. So the mother takes the kid and goes somewhere and comes back and right away, you know, trying to appease the kid, went and bought him a gift. I'm talking about a Christian. A spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian did that. Trying to appease this child, this little devil. He was evil and got a gift. What do you think a child's going to grow up like? Try to fight the good fight of faith on that one. Hallelujah. Well, the hard-working person's supposed to get reward. It don't say the lazy guy ought to get what the hard worker got. This is about the faith battle. Now, we also read over here because we see the Apostle Paul in these writings. He wrote to Timothy, but in the church at Corinth, he wrote again to them about the fight, really, is dealing with the areas of faith. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verses 24 through 27, verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run a race, it said all run, so everybody's running, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Okay, we're in a race. So we are supposed to run this race. Now we know about this because Paul's writing to Timothy. We get even more information than they got at Corinth. We're supposed to run this race by the rules. But we're supposed to run the race. This race that we're in, we're running a race that we're supposed to be running to win. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Running it to win. Now, Paul's going to tell us about winning a race. He said, everyone who competes for the prize is really slothful and lots of stuff and really don't pay much attention. Is that what it says? It says, he's temperate in all things. Temperate in all things. A person, in other words, who wants to win the prize. Now, he's not talking to the church at Corinth about actually running a physical race. He's talking about their spiritual life. He's using this as an example of their spiritual life. So this one thing we know is a Christian must be temperate in all things. See, we live, if you take like in America, the American society is an excessive people. We go to extremes on everything. We are the extreme society. You know, I've noticed this when you go out to other countries. And it amazes me. I go to other countries and they are supposed to be, oh, America, you know, we're a more Christian nation. And I find that they have more restraint than America. More restraint. You know, we go around to foods and stuff we eat. You know, if you get around Americans and like sick an American, if you get to candies and drinks and stuff, we drink the most sweet stuff in the world. If it can't rot your teeth in 10 minutes, we don't want it. It has to be so sweet that it'll just blow your brain out. That's America. We're exaggerated in everything we do. We're just in constant exaggeration. It's the way we run. If somebody enjoys something a little bit, they want to do it all the time. That's all they want to do. Then they just want to do it all the time. I mean, we have it. Go around, people take their phones from them. My God, they would murder their grandchildren to have their phone. People are so excessive with their phones. We're excessive. There's things we have that we like. If things are in style and everybody's doing it, we have to. As much that you're the coolest when you do it more than everybody else. Even if it destroys your life, you're the coolest if you do it the most. It's America. Just the way we are. We're like that. See, the devil has come along. See, the devil will always come in to a place where Christ has been and has been preached. If you'll find this, I've been to this thing of studying the history of revivals, like here in America. Every place in past centuries that have had great revivals are some of the most demonic places today. The devil will move in to those places and do everything he can to take it over. This is why America's had the gospel preached and the devil has moved in and people just jumped in with him. And the devil and America's become a mess. It's become a mess. We follow it and the devil just keeps pushing. People don't see it as demonic, but it's demonic as crazy. This excessiveness and everything. You know, people have to do more dangerous things all the time. Doing more excess in everything we do. More excess. You can't drive a car with 300 horsepower. Now you have to have 1,000 horsepower in your car. You gotta buy something. You know? It wasn't, you know, I used my camper twice a year and it was a 20 footer. Now I gotta have an 800 footer to use twice a year. You know, and I gotta have a truck to pull that thing that could pull the Empire State Building. And I'm using it twice a year. That's America. That's America. Excessive. I gotta have bigger and bigger and bigger house. Bigger. There's never enough room. We gotta get this thing out there where I got this house that gets so big and then I can complain all the time we have to clean that thing. I want 40 acres to mow. Let me at it. I can't. Oh my. I want to spend my whole life riding the lawnmower. I just. God, are we having fun or what? I'm a nature lover or a lawnmower. You know, we used to be if we had a whole lot of acreage, you just let it grow out there. And I said, had a little around the house. Not now. We got to manicure it all. You know, God can't take care of this thing. He's an idiot. He needs me to do this thing. Oh, get over yourself. But we do. We are wearing ourselves out in our excessiveness and we don't see it as that. We don't see. We don't see how much pressure we put on ourselves that is unneeded. We don't see these things destroy our health. They're destroying our health. We're driven. You can't be driven and be healthy. You can't do it. Can't be driven. And we're driven to everything. Just got to be better and more and that stuff. Doing things, just more and more for our lives to run. Instead of looking away, we don't buy things anymore that make life easier. We buy things that take more and more to run. Always, I'm going to buy this because this really makes this job easier. This really makes it a lot nicer. When you come down through it, they're just doing more with it and more work and stuff. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. It's like, what do we come to and stop and say, what are we doing here? I mean, we got in communities now. Now you go and you buy a home somewhere and they got a group that runs the area where the homes are and you can't put your flag up or you can't, everybody, This guy parks his motor home in his driveway. You're not allowed to do that. You know, this guy's doing this out here and that stuff. You know, he's doing this and his. I don't want my next door neighbor to have something I don't like. Oh yeah, there's the Americans, and I watch the Christians doing the same junk. And then complain about our government, and they're worse than any Democrat. They can't even let their neighbor alone. You know, it's his property. What he wants to do on it, let him do it. That's his. You know, we have new neighbors moving in next door. It's two guys. And they're heathens, but they're nice guys. They're nice. I mean, they're very good neighbors. And you know, every time they do something, they'll say to me, you don't mind when we do this? And I say, man, it's your place. Have at it. But you know what? See, they're not used to that. They're used to everybody complaining about everything. And if it's probably a Christian, they'll be the number one complainer. Because he said, you know, they're going to put horseshoe pits out here. He said, okay, if we put horseshoe, we want to put them out back here. Now, yeah, we have friends in, you know, and we put a keg on. I see, but I don't want that keg out back there! Hey, it's their yard and their keg. And they're probably more respectful than most Christians are. See, everybody gets over into that stuff. But you remember, everything you do is coming back at you. You're going to reap everything you sow. This is why so many Christians are having such a hard time living today. Because the more they complain, the more the devil gets a foothold in their life and makes them miserable. He'll send people to move in next to you just to make your life miserable. And God will let him do it. See, we got to stop all this stuff. I won't preach none of this, but this is good preaching on stuff because we're living in a messed up country and I don't want to be a part of messing it up. You know? You want to own what you own, you have at it. I just don't, the whole thing of it is everybody today is trying to control everything. Everybody, we have gotten into such excess, it don't even make it fun. People don't even enjoy living around. They don't even like to have neighbors around anymore. People want to get away from everything. And I don't blame them. We're a bunch of idiots and nuts trying to have our nice little thing that we got. You know, complaining, well, the guy, they just, hey, get over it. It's what life is. Hallelujah. Pray for them and love them. Hallelujah. That's what we're called to do. People are going to live like hell. Haven't you noticed? There's one thing that is what we have done, we're making everybody mean. And we got to stop this thing. Hallelujah. I don't want to be one of the mean ones in the bunch. I don't want to do that. Hallelujah. Life is what it is. People are just always worrying about everything today. I'll tell you what, I'm looking for a worry-free life. Hallelujah. We're just trying, you know, we had one neighbor was mild and had moved, thank God. Didn't like it because kids bounced a basketball out on the street. They didn't like the sound of the basketball. I said, would you rather have them throw a rock through your window? I said, we have never had anything problems with any kids around here, and some of them have had problems with kids. We never did as number one because we never, when kids are playing, I don't care what they're doing. They're playing and laughing and having fun. They be as noisy as they want. It's when they're out there tearing stuff up. That's another story. And they never bother us and they never bother our stuff. And I see the kid, all the kids around here, I wave to them. Hi. They wave. When they walk by, they always say hi to us and this and that. I like the kids. Parents are the hard ones to get along with. The kids are great. And they never bother our place. Let them be kids. Not today. Oh, no. No, especially if you're rich, you're going to be the most miserable person. You're going to build a nice house, and you won't even let your kids play in the yard. Then you take my tax money to build a playground so your kid can go play at. I am so fed up with this playgrounds and little lakes. They're costing us a fortune because people, you drive through the neighborhoods where they got money and nobody has a play set for their kids to play in. They all have to go to the park because you can't touch my yard. Oh, I don't want my yard. My words, they touch the grass. We're a six, folk, if you're a, we're a six, we vote these people in to do this stuff to us? They're idiots. But see, we do this stuff, and I'm thinking, we're out here spending all this money running around trying to make everybody have their little place of perfection that don't work, and they ain't home anyhow, and they don't even mow their yard. Somebody else does. I mean, it is the craziest thing. We're living in an insane world with insane people that have more money, definitely 1,000 times more money than brains. Grind out this little place of perfection. The yard has to be just so, grass just so high. You can't. Oh my, his grass is, you know, 4.5 inches. It's too much. I'm going to call and tell them. I don't like that. He didn't trim his bushes. Hallelujah. Well, we got to come to a place we don't care anymore than another. You know, you think about it. You got to watch what bothers you. Because we get over and I'm convinced of this. There's a lot of less faith fights that we would have had in life. A lot of faith fights have started because of getting over into things that open the door to devil to bring trouble in other areas of our lives. See, we've got to come this place. You know, when I was a kid, nobody worried about any of that stuff. And you know what? The kids were kids and ran around and played, and nobody expected the kid to be, you know, the kid that was 10 years old, none of us expected to act like he was 40. Now today, most of them are 40, they're acting like they're 10. It's turned around a bit, but we never did. Kids were allowed to be, they were allowed to play. You know, we had a baseball diamond. You could tell we had one in our yard. There was a worn down diamond in that yard. I'll never forget, my mom started to go to that thing about, she said, they're tearing that yard up out there. My dad said, this inside the house is yours. That one out there is theirs. He said, you mind your own business. This is yours. That's theirs. My dad got it. He understood it. If mom wanted to have the inside, then do you want to lose this? I'll give them this and you'll have that. Which do you want? She decided to take the inside. And you know what? She was the god of the inside too. She called the shots in that thing in there. And you know what? He didn't say a thing about it. That was hers. But ours out there was ours. And we called the shots. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think that was good wisdom. Hallelujah. See, being temperate can cover a lot of ground. See, when people think about temperate, they think about all drinking and stuff like that. No, there's a lot of excessiveness and a lot of things. I tell you what, I know people Christians who would never drink a drop or ever smoke a cigarette. I would rather put up with a drunk than them. Because they're not temperate at all. They're trying to control everything, trying to run everything. You can't run everybody's stuff. My words, I have enough trouble with mine without trying to run yours. Dear God, have at it. You know, if you want a manicured yard, don't yell at the guy that don't want one. You know, you wash your cars and keep them clean, he don't, hey, that's him. You know, it's just, that's life. Some people just think, but you know what I found out? It don't do any good to complain about it. It never straightens any, none of that out. None of that ever gets straightened out. We're trying to control. I want everybody to like what I like. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. Hallelujah. It says, be temperate in all things. The word temperate, just a simple thing, just means to be in, to exercise self-restraint. Have you ever lost your self-restraint? We all have. Now he said these people, what he's talking about here, they do this to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable. He said, therefore, for run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight as one who beats, I don't fight as one who beats the air. Thus, he's not just throwing punches. In other words, He's talking here about boxing. They understood in those days, they were under, let's understand, they're under the Roman Empire. The Romans followed after the Greeks. Now their language, they spoke Greek, you know, because with your New Testament was originally written in Greek and was translated over into English. The Greek culture and the Greek games and that stuff of today, we have the Olympics and all that. That was big. The sport things were huge. So that was known in the cultures. I mean, if you went into Jerusalem in Jesus' day. Now, it doesn't talk about it in the Bible, but they had a big horse racetrack in there. Jerusalem had a big, the Romans had built one. Big horse racetrack in there, and they're probably getting them drugs too. They didn't care. They're going to win. They're, you know, but they're doing this stuff. You have all these things are there, but they knew what it was to having all these sporting event things and that stuff there. And here's what he's talking about. He's talking to these people about things that they know and they understand. These Greek cultures, these people that are under this, the Roman Empire under really Greek culture. And so they understand about all these things you do and what people, what people go to win something. You know? And you know, just think about with yourself about trying to win. If you wanted to win, that's something today. What you'd have to go through. It's what a person goes through no matter what they're going to compete at in an Olympics. What does that person do in training? I mean, there's people, you know, like move away from their family and just spend, you know, most of the year in a place of training. That's all they do to, for you know, go, just, you know, getting a shot at a title. He's doing a comparison. In other words, he's talking here about boxing, throwing blows. You know, you don't go out just swinging. Just swinging ain't going to get it. So he's talking about these things of doing the, of doing this. He went on to Paul said, now listen what he said, verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Now what's he talking about here? See, there is a discipline to the body. These people discipline their body for a purpose to win a crown for in a game that they're playing, whatever it is, whether it's a race, whether it's a boxing match or whatever. He's talking to them about that. He used the thing of a soldier. The soldier, he disciplines himself to follow after his master, whoever it is in charge. This is what he's doing. He's comparing that to us as believers in our life. And the whole purpose of this is you need to understand it's about your body. The fight of faith is mostly lost because of uncontrolled bodies. There's a body problem. Your body is a problem. If you understand that, your flesh is a problem. You can't grow up spiritually if you think there's a division like, well, I'm spiritual over here and my body, this is just this thing here that I have to deal with while I'm here. And it's like, you know, no, your body is going to determine lots of times about the faith fight you're going to, and how well you're going to do it. Your body will. It's bringing the body under control. Paul's talking about all these things and it's for this purpose. It's about bringing the body under control. Have you ever known that that's your body? See, we're dealing with your flesh. Your flesh. Flesh is, see, when I was talking about everybody, when we're dealing in the early years of being temperate, and I got over to things how we're so excessive in our society, and everything everybody has to have perfection today. We got to have, you know, everything just right, everything's just right. We spend huge amount of time trying to keep everything just in order. Oh, and if our neighbor don't have everything in order, we're mad at him because he don't like my order, you know. Because I'm a control freak, see? And he has to yield to me or I'm upset and complaining. You know what that is? It's an out of control body. That's the flesh dominating and ruling. That's the flesh dominating. That's the flesh ruling. That's the flesh dominating. We need to understand that. Because we're talking about fighting a war. We're talking about fighting a war here. You can't have your flesh. You can't turn around and have all those battles going on, trying to control everything in the natural. See, that's what we tried to do. You know, it's a lot of where the big problem was last year and that stuff in the church world. Everybody's trying to, all the Christians are trying to control the natural. They're trying to control everything that made them upset. Anything spiritual they didn't have a clue about. They're running around trying to control the election, trying to do this, trying to do that. And you know how they did it? By uncontrolled flesh. I'm going to get my gun and go to Washington. I'll tell you what, that's going to... Yeah, I'll tell you, that's a spiritual thought. Hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. But see, he said, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. Now listen to what he says. Lest with when I preached to others, I myself should become, he says, disqualified. But I want you to know what that disqualified word means. That word means, it means one of the thoughts of it is to be rejected. By implication, it means worthless, literally or morally. And he said, cast away, rejected, a reprobate. See, uncontrolled flesh, a person's uncontrolled, leads them to be a reprobate. Boy, we don't want to think of ourselves like that, do we? I wish they'd have used a word and translated that reprobate. That would maybe change some people's minds about things. It ain't about just disqualifying. See, we don't realize uncontrolled flesh is a much uglier thing. And today it's not preached. Uncontrolled flesh is this in the church world today. I have a problem. Would you pray for me? No, you ain't. You're a sinning scumbag. You need repentance. We don't do that. No, 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 no. I got a problem. I was like, Kevin Higgins said, if you use the words the Bible uses, you'll know what to do about it. Sin is to be repented of. A problem is this. You got a flat tire in your car and you need to get that fixed. That's a problem. Sin is not a problem. It's something to be repented of. And you deal with it as such. Out of control flesh is a thing to be repented of. It's not good. You know, they used to do this, all this thing in the church, and they'd give people these tests to find out whether they were different, you know, they fell into different categories of people. And this is just the way that they are. Now, when they turn around and take what a person is, naturally what you are, you know, and this guy here, you know, he's geared to leader, so he acts this way and acts this way. You know, so I read in the Bible, you know, I'm supposed to walk in love no matter what. It didn't tell me if I'm a C or a whatever they did, or you're a this or that. You don't have to do that. Psychology took over the church 30 years ago. And we sit around and wonder why today it said, how did America get like this? The Spirit-filled church turned it into it, because those are the dudes that were doing it. You want to get a job in a ministry? You have to go through and take one of those tests. They have to find out what category you meet in these ministries. These are ministries. They want to know. They want to know your psyche. Should I tell you that? Kenneth Hagin could not get a job at Rhema today. And I'm serious, he couldn't. He wouldn't pass the qualifications that what they require of you to have. You have to be a college graduate. You have to take these tests to get this stuff. He didn't ever fit. My God, the devil's running so many ministries today, it's incredible. We have all kind of stuff going on. But see, the foundation of it all goes back to this thing of people trying to control everybody and trying to, you know, make, you know, one thing is I found out changed my life was Jesus. The Word of God is the power of God to change people's lives. The Word gets in you, it'll do something to you that nothing. I've watched. All my life I tried to change my psyche. I went 30 years. And you know how well I did at it? I got worse year after year after year after year. I became more of a problem year after year after year. And then one year, Jesus stepped in. Jesus changed it. Today we're trying to do all this stuff psychologically. We're trying to do these. Much of the church world is trying to fight warfare without bringing the flesh under. You can't fight a war without bringing, gotta bring the flesh under. If anything, I learned just in the military, and the Lord told me, so I'm going to use your military training. What did they do in teaching you to keep your flesh under? So there was things in the natural, I could turn around, look in the scriptures, ah, this is what I got to do here if I want to bring my flesh under. They would do things to teach you how to bring your flesh under so you could do what they wanted you to do. If you're going to succeed, you're going to have to come to that point. Is dealing with those things. This is not weird, nor is it strange. Hallelujah. This is just the way it is. You know, I always like it in Hebrews, because Hebrews says this. In Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There's people who've gone on before this. I want you to understand this, and you need to get this clear. The people who are in heaven have no interest nor concern and know nothing about how you're doing physically down here. Nothing. They don't care if you still have grandma's dishes or not. They don't care. Grandma don't care if you chucked every one of them. She don't care. They don't care what you did. They don't care how much money you got in the bank or don't have. They don't view any of that at all. Nothing. When people die and go to heaven, heaven ain't in earth. Most Christians are fleshly, and they think about heaven, they think about it in a fleshly way. It is not. It is not like you think fleshly. It is not. They have no, but they know, heaven knows this, how you are spiritually. They know whether you're walking with God or not. They know that. The people in heaven know whether you're following God. They know that. You can't fool heaven about your spiritual condition. You see, the Lord dealt with me about that. He said about, you know, and spoke to me years ago about some things and about David. He said, remember when he anointed David as king, he told Samuel, I don't judge man by the outward appearance, but by the heart. And he said, that's the way I deal with you. He said, it's about your heart. It's about your heart is what I'm interested in. It's about your heart, your inner man. Most of Christianity spends the majority of the time on the outer man. Spends very little time working on the inside. It's all about the outside. See, our society is an excessive society, and it's all about fixing up the outside. We want to look good. And you know what? A lot of Christians look good inside. They're full of death. They're like the Pharisees. They look like the whitewashed tomb. That's what heaven sees. Heaven doesn't see. Heaven don't care how great the clothes are and how great. There's nothing wrong with dressing good, living good. There's nothing like that. But that has nothing to do with your spirituality. You have to understand that. You're not spiritual because you have or have not. That has nothing to do with your spirituality. You get people who have and have not. I was in sales for years, and I found this out. There's some people, some of the most rich people I ever met in my life, they didn't live rich at all. They could have bought out half the people that were playing rich. Then you had other people who were very wealthy and lived it out. Even though both of them had the same amount of money, it didn't matter. One guy, he didn't want. It's like me. You know, some guys say, you know, I want to drive the BMW. I just want a reliable car. It takes me to where I want to go and back. The guy that wants a BMW, have at it! But I find no prestige in none of it. To me, it's like, I want what works for me. That's what I want. It works for me. If you want the Ferrari, my God, I'll believe together with you. You get one. I just don't want it. I don't want to have to believe God for spending $5,000 to get a tune-up. If I'm going to spend $5,000, it's going to be for something better than that. But if you want that and believe, you can. You know what? God wouldn't mind if you'd be $5,000 for the tune-up. Have at it. But see, we can never measuring spirituality, but people have, is nothing. You can't choose whom God has blessing because of what they have. My God, if we did that, then the sinners are doing better than the church. God, we could go get a handful of these billionaires. They could buy the whole church. They could buy all American Christians. Well, see, it can't be based by that. It can't be based by those things. And to me, it's not putting anybody down. To me, that's a relief. It's like, I don't have to put, if I want to have a lot of things, I can have them, and that's good, that's fine. God ain't upset. If I don't want to have them, it don't matter. Hallelujah. Just live the life. Live the life that you're walking in by faith. Don't demand those things of others. The important things the Bible tells us what we demand of each other, and that's this, a moral life. I can't judge your spirituality, but I am required by God to judge your morality. The Bible tells me to do it. And that's what we don't do in the church world today. We don't judge morality. Oh, don't judge, don't judge. I want to say, the Bible tells us to. We judge people's moral character. The Bible tells us to. And we're not doing it. The world, the church lives immoral and nobody says nothing. And we're all worried about the looks. The looks don't matter. Look like you want, you know, keep your pants on and stuff. I mean, don't, you can't tell people today. Years ago, you say, look like what you want. People understood, not today. The first thing you do, some Christian will have his underwear in his head. They're just dumb as a stick. We live right, we walk right. We're supposed to do right, but you live the life that you enjoy and believe for those things that you enjoy and you like. Don't put it over on the other person. We don't do those things. But when it comes to morality, then acting moral, lying and cheating and stealing and all that kind of stuff, it's wrong and nobody gets to do it. And I don't care if you're a Christian businessman, you do it, you're a scumbag, you're a lying, cheating crook. You don't do what's right, you're a crook. And see, we need to come down to these things. Immoral actions of all sorts. We need to know. We don't judge in any of those things. They say, don't judge, don't judge. That is a lie. That's what the Bible tells us to judge. That's what is in the church. Don't bother judging the world about it. They're already on the way to hell. Doesn't matter at all. But there's Christians who are going to end up in hell. Born again Christians are going to end up in hell because they're immoral lives. You can't consistently live an immoral life and go to heaven. You won't do it. You'll follow your God, your flesh, and that's what's going to be your God, and you're going to love it, and you'll denounce Jesus to follow that thing. Keep playing the game. You can't play immorality. It'll eat you up. You know it's a serious problem when God tells ones to turn ones over to the flesh, over to Satan. Turn them over. Turn a Christian over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh when God starts doing it. It's in Scripture. We're having the New Testament. People don't like those kind of things. They don't want to hear those kind of things. Getting outside, when people step into those areas, folks, you can't win battles, and the church can't win battles allowing this to go on. You can't keep sickness out of the church when sin is norm in the church and it's allowed to run rampant. Sickness is invited with it. Book of Revelations. An immoral prophetess. I'm going to throw her and her followers into a sick bed. That's what it says in Scripture. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. But that Jesus ain't quoted anymore. We don't quote that Jesus. We have another loving Jesus today that would never say such things. That Jesus would never do that. Do you know it's so serious in the church world that the head of the church, Jesus, has to turn people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh because the church refuses to? Finally, Jesus gets tired of it and turns them over. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, one thing is I've read the things and times that Jesus appeared to him and different people he told him about. He said, I had to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. The church would never do it. The church kept him, just let him live like hell all the time. The church allowed it and allowed him to live among the church. When the Bible says we shouldn't, people were doing what they were doing, we shouldn't even be as much as eating with them. My God, we'll let them move in our house. We're insane. The church is insane in its immorality. And we need to deal. See, we're talking about fighting a war. You can't fight a war and invite the enemy in. You can't do that. We can't do those things, folks. When a person says they're a Christian, it changes everything. There's a standard that we must have. Now, I want you to see some. Turn to the book of Colossians. We won't go through the whole thing, but we'll pick this up next week because these things are important. So these are things that I learned when I first got saved from Kenneth Hagin. And I learned these things, and the Lord told me to go back to bring these things out. And I'm so thankful because, I needed to hear them then, and I need to hear them now. I need to hear these things. Because we need to understand responsibilities. Now think about it. We have talked about, in Ephesians, the armor of God. We talked about putting on the armor of God. Well, we're going to talk now about things to put on and put off. Things that we put on and put off. That we do. Now listen, here we go. We start Colossians, the third chapter, starting at verse 1. Colossians, third chapter, verse 1. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Now, if then it says, we were raised with Christ. Now, he's writing the church of Colossians. If you read the chapters before that, you'll see what he, dealing with them as being saints and who they are. So they were raised with Christ. So what is they supposed to do? They're supposed to seek those things which are above. So, in other words, what do you know? He's talking about, look on the roof of the house or, what's, no, he says the things above. In other words, there's heavenly things is what we're supposed to be seeking. In the earth here, we need, it's one thing is I think has been really known and hurt a lot of people on the faith messages, because most people in the faith message, they're most of the time seeking things of this earth. They're trying to get things. There's nothing wrong with believing for things here. There's nothing wrong. But that's where our seeking time goes. Our idea is to figure out how to get just more things here instead of setting ourselves and seeking those things above. It is only natural you will develop to live here right if you seek those things up there. If your spiritual development is more important than your physical development. And if you understand that, divine healing and divine health is spiritual, not physical. 99% of spirit-filled Christians are always dealing with the physical all the time when it comes to healing. They're dealing with the physical all the time. And they wonder why things, they don't seem to get anywhere they want to go. Because they never develop spiritually. It's a spiritual walk. It is a spiritual thing. The inner man, walk learning to hook up with the life. There's life that's in us as being born again, but if that was just enough, why seek things above? Why? There's things above, revelation that is higher, that we need to get on the inside of you that will fix a lot of things on the outside down here. That's the most important. Seek those things above. He's not trying to limit anybody. He's not trying to say, well, no, I don't want you to have nothing nice down here. I don't want you. No, he's telling you what is the most important. What am I seeking? This seek means to look is for something that's lost. I mean, let's get down and think of, do I spend time after God like I'm looking for something I'm lost? Do I take that effort during the week? Am I really taking that kind of effort? Most people are not. I got my daily Bible reading and I got it really, most daily Bible reading is not seeking God. It's just going through the general reading of the Bible. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but there's things that you seek. There's a higher level that you want to go to. It's basically, it's like educational, If you went to a school and all they ever taught was general math all the time, well, you could go all you wanted and all you'll ever end up doing is general math. I mean, that's it. You have to have something higher. Well, in our spiritual life, we have to have things higher. We got to go to something greater. And that's what he said. Look, seek those things above where Christ is set at the right hand of God. Then what he said, set your mind on the things you've been seeking. When you seek God, set your mind on those things above, not on the things of the earth. Set your mind on those. See, you're seeking for those things up there. You find those things. Set your mind on those things. Let those become the place that your thoughts. See, that's when the Lord dealt with me about finances back in 2014 and started dealing with me in the areas of giving and receiving and started talking to me about it. I realized I was operating on a low level. And you know why I operated on that low level? It was my thinking. I had been basically walking in the knowledge that most people had taught me about giving and receiving. And you know what? There was higher level than what they were talking about. And I thought it's a shame God had to stop me and explain it to me. But see, when He showed me that, then what He wanted to do, He wanted to change the way that I thought about it. So I had to set my mind on the way that He taught me about money and about finances. See, now I think differently about money today than I did back then. I think about getting money from God. It's a whole different ball game for me now. Now understand, you can't have that thinking without finding that and setting your mind on it. You can't do it. You'll think on the level where you're at right now, what you know. If you want to know more, you're going to have to set your mind on something higher. You know, it's the same way at divine healing. The average Christian, when they understand something about healing, is believing God to get healing. And so I don't think from that level. I think by His stripes I was healed. See, I'm not trying to get healing. I was healed. I'm already healed. That's a higher level. You're going to operate on the level where you're at. That's why we seek. That's why we look, because we're just like kids are growing up. You learn certain things and you learn certain stuff, but there's more to learn. And most people are just happy where they're at. Like when it comes to finances, most preachers are happy where they're at because they've learned how to use those techniques to get people to give money. They don't want to go to a higher level. They'd have to believe God. No, they want you to believe God. Give them money. But you want to go to a higher level, a higher way. That's what you want to do. You want to learn more. And when you find it out, then set your mind on that thing. Every one of us, if you've been in Christianity any amount of time, you've done that along in your life. You've learned, you understood certain things at certain levels, and all of a sudden the light come on to another. What do you do with that? You don't say, isn't that really neat? Go home and just keep living the same way you were. A lot of people do that. A lot of people never change what they do. They never change their mind. They never set their mind on the light that turned on higher. And they just keep walking on that same level they do. No, you gotta set. He's telling us what to do here. This is a wonder. These scriptures are wonderful because they're telling us what to do to go higher. I don't know about you, I want to go higher. Hallelujah. Set your mind on the things that are above. He said, not on the things of the earth. Don't set your mind on them. The things of the earth came from the spirit realm. They don't create the spirit realm. That ain't the stuff that makes things happen. You learn about the spiritual things, you can make what you want happen down here. All things are possible to him that believe it. Where? Believing is about from the heart. It's in the spirit of man. Most people now they're operating on that. I want to learn something so I want to have better this, or I want to have better. And they're seeking is not to gain greater knowledge. It's time. I'm just trying to get something here. I'm just trying to get something here. We got to lose that and understand that the knowledge of God, you're not going to have to fight to get things here. They just come along with the knowledge of God and walking in it here. Now, he goes on to say this. He said, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Did you know you died? Did you know you died? Did you know you died? No, you didn't. You wouldn't have the trouble you have if you know you died. See, I know once in a while, every morning I have to shoot this guy that died. No, but you died. You died. Now listen, I want to see this from a spiritual side. When you got born again, you died. The spirit never doesn't exist anymore. You became a new creation. Most Christians will continue to live by that old man. They won't live by the new man. Because see, the outer man knew the dead guy. And the outer man wants to still live by the dead guy. Oh, the outer man wants to follow the dead guy. See, I know, I can remember what he did. I can remember all this stuff. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, that's what I do. See, he's a dead man. No, you died. You're dead. Now listen to what he said. Now this is a wonderful thing. You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, my life is hidden. Ah, what you and I are alive, the life that we, it's hidden. Oh man, with Christ in God. That's the real you. That's the real you on the inside. See, you have the nature with God. You're getting in our minds the fact. See, the Bible talks to us, we're the body of Christ. He's not talking about somebody physically, a physical body. We're the spiritual body of Christ. We're one with Christ. Christ and God. God looks at us. We're in Him. We're what He is. See, if we don't seek things above, we never see what we really are. And we'll keep living on a low level here. We'll run around and you know what we're like? The Syrophoenician woman's dogs trying to eat the crumbs underneath the table. That's the average Christian life. Spiritually are nothing but a bunch of dogs eating crumbs. And the whole time our life has been in Christ, hidden in God. My God! I don't know what you like. I like that. So he says, when Christ, who is your life, see, what is he saying? When Christ, who is your life, when Christ, who is your life, I hope you get a revelation on that, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now listen what He tells us to do then. He's talking to us. He's talking with us here as believers. We want to start here at this, but He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Now what do you think He's talking about your members? It's your body. You're supposed to put your body to death. God does it, you do. What does it say here? Therefore, because of what I just said, because your life's in Christ, because you're in God, this is what you are. Now your body, you gotta deal with that. God does not deal with your body, you do. You and I have to deal with our body. God don't. You do. If you don't deal with your body, God will judge you. He'll judge your flesh. If you don't judge it, He will judge it. Go read 1 Corinthians. They wouldn't judge themselves, and He wasn't talking about judging themselves spiritually. He's talking about judging their flesh. They weren't walking in the flesh right. They were doing wrong, and He judged them. He judged them. So He said, look, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Your member on the earth is called your body. Now what does He say about this? Now He goes on, because He says this. We know what this member is. He said fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, now listen, the wrath of God's coming upon the sons of disobedience. But He goes, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. In other words, we're not supposed to be walking in this stuff. This is not what we're supposed to be. The church shouldn't have immorality in it. It shouldn't have fornication, idolatry, homosexuality, any of that kind of stuff. None of those kind of perversion, passion, any kind of evil desires, covetousness. You know, when the Lord spoke to me about covetousness in the church, where He's teaching me about money and talked about ministers, how they covet other people's money. And they do things to get money out of people and that stuff and do what they do. And He said, because they're covetous. A big name church, you know, I could tell you, you know, when they were doing a thing and they said, they were calling their people giving units. And I told them, I said, if you called me a giving unit, I'd never go to your church. I said, I'd leave a minute. I said, ain't your giving unit. I said, all I am is a dollar sign to you. Now I'm talking about this, a Rhema church, spirit filled. I don't know what spirit that was. It wasn't the one I got. You're a given unit. I'm going to tell you what. You need put to sleep at the Humane Society when you start thinking like that. When you look at other human beings, it's just something you get something out of. And see, we wonder why the world has this kind of thinking out here. It's because the church promotes it. It's emanating from the church world. It's emanating out of the church. You guys are a bunch of freaks, you know that? But you know, I don't want to ever think of people in that manner. I don't want to ever look at people in that way. Because number one, I can't be people would do that because those same people, I doubt, I'll guarantee you, would be upset if somebody looked at them like that. The same ones that do it. But he tells us, see, the wrath of God is coming on people. See, covetousness is idolatry. See, we think about, this is why people talk about America today that we don't have idols. America is an idol worshiping nation. It loves stuff. Stuff is number one on the list of most of America. The stuff is the most important. What's our government doing now? It's all about stuff, you know, my words. We got, man, last year and I said, man, let's go in debt. We ain't in enough debt. Let's go in some more debt and give everybody else some more. And then those people complain about the ones giving money away today. Say, hold it, what is this? Everybody's insane. Let's just give it all away. Let's give everybody stuff and give everybody, and everybody says, yeah, we'll take, hey, let's take the stuff. Let's all get the stuff. Let's have stuff. We get more stuff. Yeah, I got stuff. But we don't worry. And really, it is where we're dealing. It lets us find out where our love's at. What do I really love? What's important to me? We have to find out those things. This is why. These are the areas that we judge ourselves. You have to know about your heart when you judge yourself. You have to know. I can't judge unless God would tell me what a person's heart were like. I would know. See, you can't look at people on the outside and tell what they're like. You know, there's people that you think are pretty flaky that are more spiritual than you realize because they just in their actions, there's people walk around people think are real spiritual nice, and I'm going to tell you what, they're evil as the day is long. Inside, you don't see what they really are. See, God sees it all. God sees it all. We don't know. As I learned a long time ago, you can't judge. You can't judge by what you see going to the outside. I mean, I've been more involved in ministry and around ministers, and I've watched this all the time. I've watched ministers get promoted among ministerial groups and get promoted and get promoted. And I knew this because God told me things about the individual, told me to stay away from them. Full of sin, full of iniquity, and they're all promoting them because why? The outside, they look great. They have a so-called great ministry. But inside, they ain't got no great ministry. Then all of a sudden, after some years, they come tumbling down and everybody's shocked. What I'm shocked is those people promoted them. I'm shocked that they're leaders. You can't follow a lot of people today. They wouldn't know God. Loads of the church leaders today wouldn't know God. I don't care what he'd do, show up, what he'd do. They wouldn't know. They have their ideas and their things about God. And they aren't listening to their hearts. Folks, you can listen to your heart. You can be as every bit as spiritual as they can. Don't you ever think these guys have something special on you. They ain't got a different God. And most of them don't even listen to the one they got. You can be every bit as spiritual. You can know the things of God just as well as them. You can hear the Spirit of God. And you need to know that. Quit looking for them that they're right about everything. No, they're not. You got to listen to your own heart. You got to learn because your own God will protect you. Over the years, God's protected me from a bunch of things around ministers and stuff. Stuff that would have ended up getting into. And you need to understand this. You can get up and hooked in the wrong thing and you'll never get straightened out for the rest of your life. You can get hooked up, especially ministers. Ministers can get hooked up in the wrong groups of people, and I'll tell you what, it'll change. God will never be able to take them into the ministry He called them to because of what they got hooked into. It'll affect your whole life. It'll affect everything about you. That's why making wrong decisions, people need to be very careful in areas being led off. When you sense something isn't right, put the brakes on. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Put the brakes on. I don't care if anybody else go along with it, anybody else. You, for your own safety, for your own protection, for your own health, for your own sound mind, you put the brakes on. God is in the business of protecting you. He ain't in just protecting somebody big or something, this and that. It's about you. You're His children. You belong to Him. And understand that about yourself. He's going to work as hard toward you as anybody else. Don't ever admit it. The Lord had to deal with me on it. The different ministers, the big ministries. Lord told me one day, the Lord even said this to me. He said, you have a better teaching gift than he got. He said, you have developed yours greater than he has. But you know what? He knows how to play people, and people love to be played. So don't ever minimize yourself. What does God think of you? You might think of somebody else, oh, God thinks he's great. Well, who am I? Boy, don't go playing on that field. You'll lose every time out on that field because that's the devil's field to play on there. God knows us all. The best I can do is to know me. Know what's going on in me. Let God reveal to me. Walk in the light that I have. You walk in the light that you have. You listen on the inside. You can hear as much from God as anybody can hear. There ain't nobody special out here. There's just a lot of people think they are. And that's all it is. It's between their ears. And those people are our biggest problems in the church world, who think they're special. You know, this is one thing I'll say from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin stood in the highest office of the Church of America. He was the head prophet to this nation and apostle. And you know what? You want to meet a guy you would have never thought he stood in any kind of office like that. He was never in that way or manner, Brother Hagin. He never acted in that manner. Never. He never thought of himself as he was the big deal. Man, when he taught us in school and he'd talk to us, he'd tell us, you hear from God. Just because I say it, don't make it so. You listen to God. He taught us, you hear for yourself. I am so thankful to set a humble man that realized, you know, we can hear from God. You can hear from God. You can follow God. Nobody's more special than you are. I don't think any of us are really special per se, like people like to think today. I don't think any of us are special. I don't like that terminology used. We're not special. We're just children of God. We're like our daddy. We're living in him. Jesus is our life. I don't know what you'd call that. It's so big, I don't think special even sounds good to it. I mean, it's like, that's who we are. Well, we're told that we're supposed to kill this stupid body. We're supposed to do, you know what? In other words, killing it, or he's calling about that, is dealing with the passions and desires of this body. I'm not going to teach any further. We're going to go on and pick this up because it goes on to tell us what to put off and to put on. What we do as believers. Our job to do. See, many people are praying and asking God to do certain things for them about themselves. People get into habits. They got into fleshly habits, you know, whatever they might be as a habit that's bad, and they're asking God, you know, God, you know, people say, God, take this away from me. I always have to laugh because I always think, when I say that, I think about Kenneth Hagin. I always tell this woman, she is a Christian lady, and she came and she asked prayer for, she came to Kenneth Hagin and said, would you pray for me that God would take snuff away from me? You know, years ago they used to do stuff, now they, you know, they don't call it snuff anymore. Went from chewing tobacco to, you know, they still the same thing. They put tobacco in their mouth, stick it in. But anyhow, she said she wanted to get rid of it. She said, ask God to take it from me. And he said to her, he said, what's God going to do with it? He don't choose not. He said, God ain't going to take it from you. And so you need to understand, God isn't going to take things from your flesh. He doesn't do that. You deal with your flesh from your spirit. See, I want you to get a hold of this. Is some of the times that things that I say, and sometimes upsets people because we get over in all this counseling and 12-step programs that we have today and things. You see, it's one of the reasons we need to understand this. We get delivered by revelation. You see, I was an alcoholic, and when I got saved, you know, most people, I'm talking about a real alcoholic. You know, today, you know, there's people they call alcoholic just because they drink. Somebody say, you know, there's Christians say if somebody's an alcoholic and they don't know what an alcoholic is. Number one, I had a demonic problem. Mine was a demonic problem. Most alcoholics, a real alcoholic, they have a demonic problem. That's why they fight all their life trying to get off the stuff, and they have the programs, and they have to have, as soon as they always keep wanting to have a drink. They always keep, if you don't get that demon taken care of, it don't change. And Christians try to counsel it out. They try to do that. And they hold the same kinds of meetings the world does, that you stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm... You get born again. But see, I was preached a gospel of deliverance, therefore had faith for deliverance. See, we don't preach it. We preach a gospel of get your sins forgiven. And most people enter their Christian life with all the same problems that they have. They don't get delivered from nothing. But see, you're delivered. See, I came to a place to realize, see, the guy that was the alcoholic, he died. He's dead. He's not alive anymore. So I'll never forget when the Lord said to me, I got saved, and the Lord said to me, and I never even noticed it. You know, I wasn't driven to drink. And the Lord said to me, did you notice you don't have to drink anymore? Now, he said to me, do you notice you don't have to drink anymore? Now, I could have drank if I wanted to. But see, this is one thing that I never had before. It wasn't a choice whether I wanted to drink. I was driven to drink. That's why... learn to keep your blab mouth shut when you get around people like that. They're putting up with a whole lot of trouble without you being more trouble than they are. They're dealing with a real problem. And then you become the second biggest problem in their life. It's good preaching, folks. People don't understand. People are going through. What we do is preach deliverance to them. See, I was preached, fortunately enough, the word of God that I would be free, that Jesus Christ would set me free. We don't preach that today. We're scared if we preached it and it didn't work, that I don't understand what's going on. We're afraid things aren't going to work, so we don't preach it. See, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when the Lord said to me, do you notice you don't have to drink anymore? And I thought, this was mind-blowing to me. I thought, you know, I have a choice whether I want to or not. I never had that. That was mind-blowing to me. I was like, whoa, you tell the revelation? I don't have to drink anymore if I don't want to. And so you know what I did? Poured all my booze out. Now, Wanda wasn't saved at the time, and she thought I was insane. I was standing in the kitchen pouring all my booze down the drain. She's in the living room looking out and say, she said to me, she said, all I could think was all that money going down the drain. I'm there pouring it all down, smiling. Now, before that, I would have never smiled pouring that down the drain. I would have been the drain that it was poured into. But I'm there pouring it out. But see, whom the Son set free. See, people need to preach freedom, and they're not. We preach bondage. You got this problem, and what we're going to do is give you a 12-step psychological program. And for the rest of your life, you're going to belong to this group. And every time you're trying to fight to be free, see, people aren't told that they're free. You are free. Do you know there's nothing that you're dealing with in your life today that Jesus hasn't already made you free from? Do you know that? Have you looked till you saw that revelation? Have you looked above till you finally see that I'm not bound to anything anymore? Jesus set me free from it all. See, we just don't have revelation of it. We just don't have revelation of that freedom. That's all. That's why he said, set your mind on things above. Keep looking up there. Then get your mind set on that. You can't look at the right hand of God of Jesus Christ and see any bondage. It ain't there. You can't look at yourself in Christ Jesus and see bondage. It ain't there. Because the man that was in bondage died. There's no man in bondage in him. There's no man in him who's in bondage of anything. Mind if I just take a running spell here? Oh my God. See, and that's why, is you keep looking there. What we're fixing all these problems down here, running around, praying about all this stuff. What if we got a revelation and prayed? Something might happen. Seeking those things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Looking up there and saying, my God, you know, I am free. I see myself. You know what? If you don't look up there, you never see you. When you're down here in this earth always trying to look at you down here, you're always looking at the flesh. You're always judging yourself by this rotten dead thing you've been carrying around. That's all you see. And you measure yourself by, look, folks, guilty is charged. Lord, how to deal with me on it? He told me, he said, you quit judging yourself after the flesh. And what he meant was this, see, I was identifying what I was on the outside with what I was on the inside. He said, you're nothing like that. The inner man can change everything about the outer man. Oh, my, 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 my. See, if you see that, you want to come to the place where you look till you see that, till you see that you have been truly redeemed. You could not been actually redeemed from sin and things of sin still have hold on you. They couldn't have hold on your spirit or you didn't get redeemed. We judge it by the flesh just because our flesh is dominated by something. We look at the inward man and we have the wonderful preachers that stand up and say, well, your heart is always to do evil. Oh my God. The heart is always to do evil. Say, would somebody have an altar call for him and get him saved? He needs it immediately. If you just want to do evil, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're the devil's kid. People that say they're Christians and live like hell and don't want to follow God, they ain't God's kids. You know, I do dumb and my inner man says, you're an idiot. What did you do that for? The real me don't want to go along with that dumb. The guy on the inside that guy's on the inside that's seated at the right hand, he's redeemed and he don't want to do unredeemed things. He don't want to do, isn't that wonderful? The real you doesn't want to do unredeemed things. You're dealing with your flesh. And your flesh, the Bible tells us, is dead in sin. Quit treating it so wonderful. But deal with it. There is no way to deal with this outer man. The power to deal with it is with the inner man. That's the only way he can be dealt with. It's the power of God. God, you're born again. You're a child of God. You have the nature of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You find out the revelation of God. Find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Begin to look on those things. Get that on your mind. You will become repulsed at what you do on the outside. You'll throw it out. We're going to find out. Scripture says that we're supposed to put off. We put off these things. Is the Bible a lie to us? How could Paul write that you could put it off if you couldn't? He didn't say struggle, ride down, you know, do something, shoot yourself in the leg, do anything you can to get this thing. He just writes, put it off. Like you can just lay this thing down. Well, I believe we can. if we're looking at the right place and setting our mind on the right things. I believe we can. If Paul could bring his flesh under, Paul wasn't special. Paul had a different gift than I got, but Paul didn't have a different born again. He didn't have a different Holy Ghost. He didn't have a different nature than me. He had nothing special at all than I have. He is more holy than it. He didn't have a special seat in heaven that was closer to Jesus. I wasn't on the third row in the back corner. You know, we look at these and we marvel at these things and the whole time don't realize and we're putting ourselves down. We're putting ourselves on a lower class and on a lower level of thinking and a lower, these were special. We do it to ourselves. Bible don't do it to us. We do it to ourselves. We look at it. For some reason, we want to put, like, you know, certain people, we just have an awe. I'm in awe of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm in Him and He's in God. I'm in good hands. Hallelujah. And so are you. You're in great hands. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take our place, folks. Let's do that. Let's just take our place. Hallelujah. Let's look at above what... Look at above. You as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Set your mind on things above. Look, set yourself, look there. Look at those things that are above. What the Bible says, I don't care if you look at it and say, well, man, I don't seem to be none of that. It doesn't matter what it seems to be. You look at it and say, yeah, if the Bible says it, that's what I am. Hallelujah. That old dumb guy's dead. I'm going to quit carrying him around with me. My flesh loved him. My flesh wanted to do what he... But I ain't going to let my flesh shut up. You're not going to... We're not carrying that dead guy around anymore. He's gone. Hallelujah. My life's in Christ Jesus. Your life is in Christ Jesus. And it's hidden in God. Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. You're so good. Father, you're so good to us today. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, give us revelation, give us understanding, Lord God, in these areas. Lord God, open up our hearts to gain understanding in these areas that we can see and comprehend these things, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we want them to dawn upon our minds, Lord God, that we can rise to this place, Lord God, that you've made for us, hallelujah, that you have desired that we go there. Oh, hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, you have been so good. You've set us free on every hand, Lord God. Lord, there is nothing that you have not delivered us from. Nothing. Hallelujah. Sin, your word says sin won't have dominion over us. Therefore, nothing equated to sin can have dominion over us. Hallelujah. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Glory to God, we're free today. We're free today. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. We're not ruled by sin. We're not dominated by sin. Hallelujah. We're ruled by Christ. Father God, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're seeking above and setting our minds on those things that are above. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you for the freedom. Lord God, there's no guilt in that place. Lord God, there's no in that place, Lord God. There's no inferiority there, hallelujah, in that place. Oh, Lord God, that's the place of strength. That's the place where grace takes hold, hallelujah. Lord God, oh, Father, we thank you. Lord God, in doing this, we're taking hold of eternal life. We're grabbing a hold of it today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord God, there's life working in us, the life in the inner man. Surely the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening, making alive our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Our inner man is strong. It permeates in life. It permeates in life, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and not in death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I want to thank you for the great effect of the life of God in us has on our bodies in the name of Jesus. The great effect, hallelujah, that our bodies are coming into line more and more with the will and word of God in the name of Jesus. Day by day in Jesus' name. Day by day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not bound. We're free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Just keep yourself. Just keep yourself in that place. Begin to walk and keep yourself over where you're looking at the things above. Keep yourself as you walk during the week. Keep yourself where you're looking at the things above. Because there's always things that are trying to pull you. There's situations that arise, things that happen that want you to keep you focused on whatever the problem is or the thing that's happening is keeping your focus on what's above. Hallelujah. Because setting yourself and looking at what's above and setting your mind on those things, you'll deal wisely with the things down here. You'll deal wisely. They will not overtake you. You won't see them as, oh my God, what are we going to do? Say, no. We're walking on top of this thing. Hallelujah. 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 We're above and not beneath. Hallelujah. We're above. We've set ourselves above. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Scripture tells we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think too many times we got off the seat. Too many times we got off the seat and we should stay where we are looking down on things rather than up at things lots of times. Lots of times we have seen the place above. We need to sit there, set our minds there and sit there in that place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, Jesus was seated far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name. And He was made head over all things to the church, which is His body. We are the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. See, that's a revelation Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus would get. Where they're seated. Where they're seated at. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. Hallelujah. I remember years ago they used to do the things and people would say they're right on the bottom of your shoe that the devil's under your feet. One day I was doing some meditating on that prayer. And all of a sudden it went off me. The devil can't even see the bottom of my shoe. I'm seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. He can't even read on the bottom of my shoe. I am so far above Him. Hallelujah. No, I ain't giving Him anything to read. I don't think He can. Hallelujah. I don't think He's that smart. He wouldn't have been so stupid to rebel against God if He had any brains. Hallelujah. Glory to God, but we're seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. We're not just a little bit over it. Hallelujah. You're far above it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where you're at. Glory to God. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good. Hallelujah.